All right, welcome in. We're here. We're ready to go. We have a football schedule in front of us, so that is a very exciting thing. Now we can plan with ourselves. Drew can plan. Everybody can plan. You can plan as fans. Where are you going to be? You already knew you were going to be in Ireland to start the year, unless you're like, well, I haven't actually gotten tickets yet. So let's just start. We know K-State's first game of the season, Drew. We've known it for a long time now. K-State will be facing Ireland in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. And I've got really good news for anybody that's sitting around thinking to themselves, oh, man, I think I'd kind of like to go to that game. Well, if you want to be just get everything taken care of right off the bat, you can still go to cats2ireland.com, and that's going to be able to hook you up with everything that you need for information on official travel, hospitality, and airfare packages. So that's what cats2ireland.com does for you. But for those of you that have been waiting around, the remaining single game tickets have now gone on sale to the public. It started at 5 o'clock last night on Monday, so you could get those online through the K-State ticket office, and now we are past the time. So you can call the ticket office or you can go in person to Bramlage right now and get your single game tickets for K-State, Iowa State in Ireland. And if you have any other questions about that, go to kstatesports.com to learn more. But that is how the season is going to start for K-State. We knew the non-con games, how all of those ended up looking, and now it's everything else that comes with the schedule. Where are the dates? Because we knew the opponents. I think this is the thing that some people forget about. We've known exactly who K-State's going to play really since what? Basically over a year ago when the Big 12 released it, and now we still know the next 2 years who K-State's playing in conference play. But having the dates is such an important part of the schedule that can be overlooked by some.
Yeah, it is kind of wild to think that, like, we knew the opponents last year and we didn't have a schedule. Now we're in that same boat looking forward to next year. But, I mean, we can just jump right in. I think that the first thing that a lot of people had questions about was, like, where do the bye weeks fall? And the first one coming after non-conference, I think that's a smart thing to do, because we talked about it while we were in Ames over the weekend. You know, K-State wins that game, or Iowa State wins that game, they're kind of in the driver's seat for the Big 12 because they have the three bye weeks. And I think that the three bye weeks are spaced about as well as you could have them. A bye week, and then you play at home against UCF, a team that you probably don't know a whole lot about coming into the season and is kind of in a little bit of a rebuild. So you get to see and know more about them. You get a bye week right before you get to play KU on the road. It will be an emotional game. Will be probably one of the best crowds in Lawrence in a long time at the new booth there. So you get a bye week before that. Then you get a bye week before you play at Oklahoma State. We all know that K-State has struggled in Stillwater for literally Mason and I's lifetime. So getting a bye week there, I think, is beneficial. It is a little bit odd because of how the schedule lays out that with the bye weeks, K-State only plays two home games after in the last, 7 weeks of the season?
Yeah, the last half of the season, you're only at home twice.
But the other oddity that kind of comes with all these bye weeks is there's only one stretch where K-State plays back-to-back home games and only one stretch where K-State plays back-to-back on the road. So it's about as balanced as I think that you could possibly have it.
Well, you know, you make the schedule pretty balanced when you take a home game away from yourself and you go play it in week zero in Ireland. Yeah. So, I'll give that out there to anybody that wanted to pop that off. Here's what I have laid out here and looking through the schedule as quickly as I could, because so much of this is not just about, okay, you're playing this team here and there and this time or whatever. What does that other team have coming off of it? Like, you can see for K-State with the extra bye week that they have, really the toughest stretch in terms of what if another team was looking at it and saying, oh, they're coming off of this difficult stretch of games. It's really going to be Colorado saying, man, we're going to get K-State, even though it's on the road. They have to go at Oklahoma State and at Utah before we play them. That's K-State's toughest stretch of the season from a travel standpoint. Obviously, having to go to Ireland is part of it, but Iowa State is going too. And even with coming back from Ireland, I think you should be able to handle North Dakota and then be ready to go for Army after that. So I look around at some of the other situations you get, because last year that was the thing. K-State got a lot of teams coming off of what we thought at the time was going to be tougher games for them. Like Oklahoma State came off of playing Utah. I'm trying to think who else was out. There were a lot of them that seemed like they played. Yeah, so that's kind of what I was looking for here, is how this works out. But let's start with a game that we already knew about, and it didn't really click with me until earlier today. But Arizona, that final non-con game of the year, this series finally going to come to an end of these conference foes playing each other as non-conference games. Week three at Arizona, that's likely going to be one of those late night kickoffs. The Arizona schools, because of the way the weather is that early in the season, are always playing those late games. And, you know, early in the season, the TV networks are looking for inventory. This is not going to be a Friday night game like last year. We got the schedule last year and we could immediately say, oh, okay, Friday or Saturday. I know that's going on a Friday. And sure enough, it was the Friday Fox game, which was locked into that 7 o'clock primetime slot. That is not the case here with Arizona this year. This is at Arizona on a Saturday night. And I'd imagine that ends up being one of those 9:30 central time starts. So that right off the bat is going to give K-State a chance to acclimate to something that they struggled with in their first game last year when they went to BYU.
Yeah, that screams like a 9:15, 9:30. I'd say likely ESPN over Fox, but it's definitely going to be a late night game. The other one that has the potential would be Utah, but I think that kind of depends on what that game really looks like going in, because it's not out of the question that Fox would put that game as like their 7 p.m. Central Time kickoff anyway in Utah. So I think that one kind of depends on where it's at. The other oddity of schedules that you talked about, like what do teams have before? Oklahoma State plays. They play two games and then have their first bye week, and then they play their next 7 before the bye week before they play K-State. So that could be a team that's either A, refreshed after the bye, or B, just dead from playing 7 in a row.
I don't want you to put the cart before the wagon here, Drew, because I have a whole string of these games we're about to go through. So we'll get to Oklahoma State here in a second. But obviously, and I'll flash up the big schedule again, it'll be at Arizona, then that first bye week, which last night we kind of were starting to piece together some of what the schedule might look like. And I perfectly guessed, based off of what we kind of knew, where I thought the bye weeks were going to end up. That's the first one. Week four, K-State won't play. Then they will return home. They will start Big 12 play at home against UCF. The interesting thing for UCF, they're coming off of a game with North Carolina and Bill Belichick the week prior. So this is the first time where you see K-State get that kind of built-in advantage of they don't play the week before, you get that quick rest. But even though you're going to try to be catching up still from the trip to Ireland, and you have already played four, that's one of those where we'll probably have the conversation at the time. Would you rather have a bye right now, or is it too soon to stop the season and kind of reset things? Would you rather just keep going? I'm sure if K-State's 4-0, we'd say you probably want to keep playing and let this thing roll. And if they've dropped a game somewhere, or maybe even two, because the schedule is going to be pretty demanding there to begin with, then you're saying it probably came at the right time to reset before you officially start Big 12 play. Iowa State obviously is a Big 12 game, but it's broken up week zero, both teams in a weird spot. The following week – oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think I'd rather have the bye week where K-State does compared to UCF. I mean, UCF has a bye week after two games against Jacksonville State and North Carolina A&T before they play North Carolina. Like, that, I think, is an example of, like, the bad bye week. Like, Oklahoma State's after their two games are against UT Martin and at Oregon. Like, UCF might get tested a little bit against Jacksonville State and then gets to roll against NCA&T before a bye week. So I think I'd rather be K-State in that spot.
The following week, they'll go to Baylor. That'll be Baylor's sixth game to start the season without a bye. And they'll be coming off facing Arizona State and Oklahoma State before. This is where it's going to be interesting to see. Oklahoma State and Utah are probably the biggest wild cards in the Big 12 this season when you think about it. History would tell us that Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy would have good teams, but the way that they've played over the last year makes us think those could be rollover games, but I think you still have to take into consideration what it is. And there are a lot of times where teams are getting K-State shortly after facing Arizona State, who, despite losing Cam Scataboo, I think is still going to be one of the top three teams in the Big 12 going into next season. But this, I mean, this is setting up right now on paper to probably be K-State's toughest road game, just from the standpoint of what you think the team they're facing is going to be. From a team combined with environment view, it's probably the game at KU, and it could be Utah. We just don't, we have no idea what those teams are going to be. But the road trip to Waco is Baylor, as they're getting close to that stretch where they get their first bye week.
Yeah, Baylor is a fascinating case because I think that they're one of the dark horses in the Big 12 to really make some noise, but we're going to know a ton about Baylor in the early stretches. They play Auburn at home to open the season, play at SMU, and then, like you said, play Arizona State and Oklahoma State before K-State. Like, there's a chance that Baylor is, like, 2-3, maybe even 1-4 going into that K-State game. So it will be pretty fascinating to see. And I think that I would agree, if we're basing it on kind of how the seasons of all these teams on the road wrapped up, probably the toughest road game. But also, like, not a lot of great history to make you think that Baylor has it really figured out.
And they were really disappointing in their bowl game against LSU. And we know LSU doesn't give a rip about Texas bowls. So, yeah, that was disappointing there. Then K-State will return home. They'll face TCU. This will be TCU's fifth game without a bye. They're also going to have a little bit of a kind of dicey stretch here, because they're going to play SMU. This might be the last year of the SMU-TCU rivalry before TCU decided not to renew it. Then they're at Arizona State. Then they get Colorado. So that'll be a pretty emotional stretch for them. That'll be a tough road trip to Tempe, and then you think it's sandwiched between two games that, considering the last time TCU faced SMU in Colorado, they're probably going to be emotionally charged, or at least Sonny Dykes will want those wins, because SMU pants them last year and Colorado had no business beating that TCU team in Deion's first game as a coach ever. So what do you make of the matchup with TCU as the second Big 12 home game?
Yeah, another one that kind of just an interesting matchup because of what you said. TCU, I'm kind of waiting to see on what they are in general, but it is interesting that they play at Arizona State and Colorado beforehand. And another team, like, some of these teams, holy moly, if I was their staffs, I would be fuming over where their bye weeks come. TCU has a bye week after they played North Carolina on that Monday night on Labor Day. And then they don't have another one until November 1st. So, again, TCU kind of the short end of the stick. This is where playing in Ireland, I think, is beneficial because of where the bye weeks lie for K-State.
Yeah,
they don't have like the, oh, we played North Dakota and Army, and now we got a bye before Arizona. It's like, I would rather have it split up to where K-State has it. And what I wrote about on the five things on my first kind of takeaways of the schedule, K-State's essentially playing three different seasons this season, if you look at it. With four games and then a bye, three games and then a bye, and then two games and then a bye, and then you end with three games in a row. It's like, there's not really a stretch where you look at, like, oh, like, injuries could play a huge factor because K-State's played four, five, six games in a row.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of limping into the bye. This should be K-State's feeling pretty fresh throughout the season, which, again, I'll say it again. If K-State wins in Ireland, they're probably in the driver's seat in the Big 12.
Yeah, and you can look there. The last half of the season, you're going to get two bye weeks in that final stretch. And the one bye week that you get in between TCU and KU might be the most significant, because that was one when things were starting to become a little bit more clear last night. You thought that could be a very tricky stretch. Obviously, you go on the road to KU, and if something were to happen there and the streak doesn't reach 17, well, then you're coming home to face a Texas Tech team that is once again going to start the season with some high expectations. In terms of the K-State-KU game, KU is one of three Big 12 teams to play in week zero this year. So the Jayhawks, along with K-State and Iowa State, are going to get that extra bye as well. KU is starting in week zero at home against Fresno State. So that is the benefit for them because both teams are coming off of a bye week when that game gets played in Lawrence. So there is going to be a two-week buildup to this Sunflower Showdown that will be the most anticipated Sunflower Showdown since the last one, because it feels like basically ever since Les Miles took over, that's been built up to KU fans saying, oh, this is our shot. This is our shot. And I think they missed their shots in 22 and 23. And then obviously last year, they probably shouldn't have had a shot based on how they were playing, but K-State gave them one and the Cats secured it. So now you think they kind of have a reset. We'll see what it looks like, but that will definitely be a big game. And that one is slated, if you're looking for dates on these, that one's slated for October 25th. Before K-State would return home to face Texas Tech.
Yeah, again, KU is a team we're going to know a little about, but not a ton. Like, I hesitate to say that their first half of the schedule is pretty manageable, but man, they play Fresno State, Wagner, then at Missouri, so you'll know some of their. Then they're off and they play West Virginia, Cincinnati, at UCF, at Texas Tech. So you don't really know a ton about where KU lies kind of coming into that Sunflower Showdown. So it will be a fun matchup. And I think that both teams off a bye, I'm not really sure if it – that might be the week that I think both teams would rather just play the 18th than have to wait until the 25th.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of juice building up into it. Then, as mentioned, it's Texas Tech. I didn't really find anything about Texas Tech's schedule when looking at it. I thought it was fairly comparable, or nothing that I thought stood out to me that, like, oh, that could be a little of advantage here or interesting wrinkle to it. Maybe you see something different with what the Red Raiders have, but I did not.
No, their opening of the Big 12 is pretty soft.
Yeah, well, and you talked about, like, KU's schedule there. You think about really the best barometers of what they're going to be. It's going to be fascinating to watch them go to Missouri, but they should probably be 3-0 in Big 12 play when they go to Texas Tech, as long as this is a team that is bounced back even slightly from what kind of killed them last year. I mean, I don't think West Virginia or Cincinnati or UCF are going to be particularly good this season. But then after that bye week, it is the two-game road trip to Oklahoma State and Utah, two teams that prior to last year you would have thought that is a dangerous stretch no matter the year you play them. Now you have no clue because they both sucked last year, and if they didn't have Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy as their head coach, we'd probably be saying those teams have a dark path moving forward. Zero idea who's playing quarterback for either of them, so that's always tough when you start it off and nobody knows who your quarterback is going to be. Like, I can go down the list right now and I can tell you who the quarterback is going to be of the first however many opponents that K-State plays, whatever that is, running up to Texas Tech. Drew, do you know who's going to be Oklahoma State and Utah's – well, actually, Utah got the transfer from New Mexico, Dampier. I think he might be the one. Oklahoma State, who are you running out there, another Mike Gundy child?
My guess is Oklahoma State probably goes Zane Flores, but that's a team that you would have thought would have been in the transfer quarterback market, but wasn't, so who knows?
Who would have thought 20-year-old kids didn't want to go play for Mike Gundy?
Yeah, so Oklahoma State, I think, is kind of the one team that I have no idea what they're going to be, and like, I know that a lot of Big 12 people are going to want it, because it's easily the biggest Big 12 non-conference game of the entire season. Does Oklahoma State keep within 3 touchdowns at Oregon in week 2?
Probably not.
So we'll know a little bit about Oklahoma State. They have the game against Oregon, like I said. They play Baylor, which is kind of a fascinating game in the run-up to K-State. And then they play at Texas Tech and at Kansas. So I genuinely, that's probably the one team on here that I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, that looking at their schedule now and that Big 12 start for them, I mean, I could easily carve out a path to saying that they're 2-4 or 3-3 when K-State faces them in Big 12 play, because Baylor at Arizona, at Texas Tech, at KU, all games I could see them lose. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see what Houston looks like this year, year two of Willie Fritz. K-State probably glad they don't have to see the Cougars this season. Then following Oklahoma State, a road trip to Stillwater, one of the easier ones that K-State and their fans have remaining in the Big 12, comes with one of the tougher ones in the Big 12, K-State's first trip to Rice-Eccles as they go to Salt Lake City to face Utah. K-State and O-State both coming off of byes when they play. Now Utah will come off facing Baylor the week prior to K-State going to Salt Lake. And the Wildcats' first trip to the Beehive State did not go very well when they lost to BYU in embarrassing fashion last year. So this is another one. Same thing we just talked about with Oklahoma State. Insert it here. No idea what to expect from Utah. We would think Kyle Whittingham, they're going to be a good team, but after what we saw last year, these are aging coaches that don't necessarily seem primed to handle the new era of college football all that well. If it was somebody other than Kyle Whittingham, we would probably be saying this isn't going to be a good team this season, or at least not an 8-9 win team or better. But since it's Utah, I think people are going to come back around to it. So what do you think about this matchup for Utah?
Could be a game with a lot of stakes on the line for K-State if everything goes to how we want it to go and kind of expect it to go. This is a game that could have huge, huge, huge implications. And it is a very tough place to play. I mean, right, Rice-Eccles is nothing to be messed with. I mean, I know that some of those USC teams were probably a little bit overrated, but they seemed to always have USC's number when they came to Utah. But without knowing a whole lot, this just feels like a game that could be a weird weather game. Like, second to last week of the season in Utah, feels like it could be really cold.
Yeah, I don't like seeing when you throw up the schedule, back-to-back road games that late in the season and it being with those two teams. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. But again, this goes to what we kind of learned after last year, where we thought, the schedule's shaping up to be a little easier for K-State than what we thought. But then all of a sudden you get into it and you go, oh, well, wait, Arizona State's actually good. You know, some of these teams are a little bit, BYU, way better than you thought they were going to be last year. So we can't speak with certainty what we think is going to happen here. So it's really just you see the two logos and you know what they've been, and you get a little nervous looking at them, but we don't really know. And then K-State will finish up the regular season at home in Manhattan with Coach Prime coming to town. Deion Sanders, the king of Fraud Watch, even though he got himself moving up the leaderboard last year, the Buffs will come to town. And again, they're going to have a quarterback battle between the Liberty transfer, Caden Salter, and one of their highly ranked quarterbacks that just came in this offseason. So we'll know a lot more by Colorado by that stage. This is one of those where if Colorado is good, then yes, it will be a close game. There's also a very real scenario here where Colorado takes a big step back this year, and that's a home game where K-State wins it 48-20 to start the season or to end the season.
I've clowned Brett Yormark before on here about schedules, but I'll give us some props here. To end the season with at least a Big 8 game, because this is a very weird schedule where K-State doesn't play Iowa State or KU at home. So you probably wanted some, or Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So you probably wanted some kind of traditional game to end the season. So getting Colorado at home to end the season, I think, is pretty fun and meaningful, because I mean, tradition is dying in college sports. Like, I wore the Big 8 hoodie that my parents got for me for Christmas before K-State played Oklahoma State. And just talk about it with, like, you and DY, like, we were talking, there aren't a lot of Big 8 games left. So to be able to play an old Big 8 rivalry, I think, the last week of the season, it's pretty meaningful, because it could be, like, KU playing Utah. Like, and that just isn't as fun to end the season, I think, as, like, an old traditional rivalry.
Yeah, I like the way that they finish it out. That's good to kind of give you something that makes you go, oh, this is the Big 12, this is the Big 8 that I can remember and think of. And then if K-State is fortunate enough to get there, we now know don't count your eggs before they hatch, given how K-State season unfolded in the back half last year, the Big 12 championship would come after Colorado. So that is the 2025 K-State football schedule right there.
I was also going to add, just as a big picture Big 12 thing, that they did a much better job of the last games of the regular season, I think. Like, Iowa State even plays Oklahoma State that weekend. So, like, we're getting a little bit more tradition in that last week than we had previously. So we're making progress.
Anything else from the big overarching Big 12 schedule that you noticed that you want to discuss or throw out there? Because I know there are some, obviously non-conference is going to be fascinating. Two Big 12 teams play North Carolina. TCU is going to start the season on that Monday night against the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill. Once again, they found themselves in the middle of the most anticipated game of the season, I think. UCF also will play North Carolina at home. KU and Missouri getting to play each other again. We've talked so much about how it's been fun to see these old Big 8, Big 12 teams play each other again. And it's exciting, even though we're outsiders to that one, to be able to see KU and Missouri play. And then they're obviously mixed into the season. Some games that are going to be looked at as significant in deciding what happens in the Big 12 title race. Arizona State's schedule will be important in that. They play at Baylor. They also play at Utah, at Iowa State, and at Colorado. They do get a home game with Texas Tech. So, like, you start to kind of piece together what this thing is going to look like. That's what they have in front of them. But as we've talked about, you just don't know right now. The Big 12, we thought it was cut and dry last year. It surprised us. This year, I think it's really up in the air on who are going to probably be the top five teams when we get to Media Day in July on the predicted order of finish. So what are some of the games that stood out to you that you noticed that with Big 12 related things outside of K-State?
So not two specific like games, but just two instances that I'm like, if I was on the coaching staff of these two teams, I'd just be furious about where your bye weeks lie. Like I said, TCU plays one game and then has a bye week right after playing North Carolina. West Virginia, did you see that they have a bye week before the last game of the regular season?
Yeah, Texas Tech is also like that.
Yeah.
Those are two weird ones. I don't know. That to me feels like a waste of a bye week, you know?
Yes. Then just fun Big 12 games that just because we're not in the thick of it with these other schools. So it's like you don't really realize that they're playing, but like this is the first time I saw it. Cincinnati plays Nebraska week one. So that's kind of fun.
Yep. And that's a Thursday night. That's going to be one of the first games we get in Arrowhead Cincinnati, Nebraska. So
the other like overarching Big 12 takeaway that I see is that there just aren't a ton of weeknight games. Like I anticipated seeing more than end up being on here, which could be a good thing because you're thinking to yourself, oh, we don't have to like figure something out on like a Thursday or Friday night. But also it could be a bad thing because that means that you're probably going to see a lot more ESPN Plus this season than CBS Sports Network now.
CBS gets basketball. It'll be TNT.
Oh. All right,
with football that'll snag some of those. But yeah, you're right. Weeknight games in the Big 12 this year. West Virginia will go to BYU on a Friday night. Utah and Kansas will play in Lawrence. That is a Friday or Saturday designation, that final week of the regular season. Arizona State also in that same boat. They could be playing on Black Friday to get it figured out for the Territorial Cup. And then we mentioned some of the non-con ones, UNC for TCU, and then Nebraska for Cincinnati. But outside of that, there's not really a ton that come across. So for fan bases, I think that's a win. For, you know, viewing habits, when you're not having a dog in the fight, I think you kind of like those. You're like, hey, I got something to watch. But, you know, overall, I think it'll be good to see. Now, Drew, I'll put you on the spot before we close this sucker out. Because this is what every great schedule reveal show does. You got to go game by game here and give us your win-loss predictions for K-State. And then we'll tally them up and we'll see what we end up getting out of you.
Oh, gosh. All right. without a whole lot of thought going into this, I'll say Iowa State is a victory. Because I don't want to have to fly, I don't want to fly to Ireland to watch K-State lose to Iowa State.
Well, buckle up, because I apparently your 25 years on Earth hasn't been enough to be around K-State to realize they are losing that game.
North Dakota is a win. Army's a win. Arizona's a win. UCF is a win. At Baylor's a win. TC's a win. Gotta keep the streak alive. So beating KU. Losing to Texas Tech. That just feels like a loss. I don't know why. Beating Oklahoma State. Losing to Utah. Beating Colorado.
All right, that's a respectful 10-2 with two losses in Big 12 play. So I can get down with that. I like the logic there with how that goes. I can tell you this much: if K-State is losing a game at least this year, it will come. One of them is coming in that 4-week stretch where they go Texas Tech, bye week, at O State, at Utah. I wanted to be generous to myself, I guess I could throw the Kansas stretch in there, but I think it's more likely that they lose to Tech, O-State, or Utah mixed in. I am mostly in alignment with you on this. I think just because we know what the history and the track record of this is, I think the only thing that I would tweak from you is I will give K-State the Texas Tech win, but I would probably exchange a loss at Baylor in there, and then a loss I go at Utah as well, just because we know road games are tricky. Utah seems like a prime candidate to be one of those late night games that we know K-State had to navigate not so well with BYU last year. They were able to pull it out against Colorado, but they were kind of fortunate that that happened, and then we know Chris Klieman, that first road Big 12 game of the year, can always kind of throw a wrench into things, and going to Baylor, we'll see. I mean, that's not always the craziest crowd, but if they have high expectations, that'll be a pretty sought after game. And it could happen. So it's really tough this time of year because we don't know what anybody's going to look like. And really, you can't give an accurate prediction for a team season until you get into it. And then if you have K-State like last year, we were 8 games into the season and we could not have accurately predicted what came after the win over KU. So
my logic for the losing to Texas Tech is K-State's beat KU and Texas Tech like a million years in a row. True. Eventually one of them is going to beat them, and I'd rather have it be Tech.
Yeah, you can't just beat all these teams nonstop. Maybe that's what Brett Yormark was doing. He said, something's got to give. One of these teams has to finally beat K-State, because we know it's been 16 years since KU won that game, 16 straight for K-State. K-State's won 8 straight over Texas Tech, and you can even go back before that. K-State's won 12 of the last 13 against the Red Raiders. So Cliff Kingsbury in 2015, congrats, dude. You won 59-44 over the 2015 K-State team. Good for you. That doesn't even really count. That will do it for us today, though. Reminder to anybody watching or listening, we will be back again tonight after K-State Arizona State basketball. So we will recap, go live, answer your questions and comments when the Cats and the Sun Devils get finished up shortly after 11 o'clock. Fingers crossed it's shortly after 11, but we know how college basketball in this day and age works. We probably won't go live until 11:30 or 11:45 because those damn suits at ESPN. Starting games at terrible times and officials delaying games, reviews, everything. Is college basketball a bad product right now? We discuss tonight, 11:30 or something after K-State Arizona State ends. I don't think it's actually that bad, but I haven't had fun watching it until the last 2 weeks. So that could tell you something. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. We'll talk to you again tonight.